The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Buddy Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen. Ray engineers and produces my show Monday through Thursday on the other side of the glass, and he does a great job for us here on Buckmaster. Together we welcome you on this Thursday, November the 9th, 2017, coming to you from Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI. Have our worldwide live listening. You can listen to this program anywhere in the world by going to my website, buckmastershow.com, and, of course, kvoi.com. We have the podcasts. Usually they're posted within about an hour of the conclusion of the program. Then it becomes your schedule. You can listen to the program 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. Our live line number is 790-2040. I have a very important first hour to talk about high school football and football in general and the future of it. So if you'd like to join in the conversation, 790-2040. Participation in high school football is down across America, particularly in the Northeast, the Midwest, and the West Coast. The bottom line, fewer young people are playing football. We'll examine some of the reasons for the decline during the next half hour with Hall of Fame coach Jeff Skurin. Coach Skurin is one of the nation's most successful high school football coaches. He's just completed his fifth season, a successful season at Catalina Foothills High School, where he took the Falcons to the playoffs. Coach Skurin has coached 13 Tucson football teams to the state Final Four, more than double any coach in modern Tucson history. Earlier this season, he chalked up his 300th career win. He's the author of a critically acclaimed book titled One Game, One Time. It's an autobiographical account of how in 2004 he coached his 40-point underdog Pima College team to an upset victory over a five-time national champion in a nationally televised game. Coach, always good to see you.
Great to see you, and thank you so much for having me back.
So what's going on? Why the decline of football? I'm sure this is one of those things that there's no real one easy answer, is there?
No, there really isn't, and it's a very complex situation. Like so many of the things in today's world, and you know, people want simple answers, but it's never quite that way. Society's changing. The world around us is changing. Things seem like they're growing bigger and bigger because of media and mass communications. And Forbes magazine says that concussion squeamishness, Colin Kaepernick situation, the actual presidential campaign. Young people aren't watching near as much television as they used to, where the NFL is worldwide. And there are a lot of, let's face it, dull games, non-competitive games, and they take too long, and there's too many commercials. And so it's a very complex web of reasons and parents and in high school football, frankly, things like open enrollment have changed the landscape. We have so many schools that are doing well, and we have a lot that really are struggling, and kids seek to go to a few places, and there's a lot of mismatches out there, and some of these are causing situations where now nationally you're seeing teams canceling games, just forfeiting games against opponents for fear of injury. And you know, I grew up in a time like you did, where we learned a lot from competing and from losing.
I sure did. I know that, and I know you did as well.
Yeah, but I also remember the famous saying by the college president who fired his losing football coach, even though he did a great job in the classroom and working with the kids. And his famous quote was, "I just didn't think we needed another lesson in humility."
Let me read you Bob Costas's quote. Mr. Costas, of course, the longtime NBC sportscaster, he took part in this roundtable discussion at the University of Maryland on this very topic about the future of college football. That session was this week, that roundtable. And Bob Costas says the sport, he predicts the sport could collapse over time, barring a development in technology to make it reasonably safe. He said the decline of football, which was once a cash machine, is the most significant story in American sports. Do you think the sport could collapse over time?
Well, my crystal ball isn't any better than Mr. Costas's, and I've had the pleasure of riding with him on two cross-country airplane rides and had similar discussions about this when he found out my background, you know, when I come from speaking, wearing the championship rings. And, and of course, he's very recognizable, and it led to a great discussion. By the way, wonderful person, wonderful person. And it was very interesting chatting with him about these things. But like we would both agree, our crystal balls are we're guessing, and but the sport of football is actually growing worldwide.
It is.
There are 57 countries in the world that now play what's termed American football, except in Australia that's called gridiron. You see it played in Russia. You see there's a professional league now in China, about to expand to another professional league.
Similar rules?
Very similar. Played just by the same rules as the NCAA plays by in Division I college football. Japan, for a long time, has had their famous X-League with the IBM Big Blue Corporation sponsoring the team. Germany has over 300 teams now playing. The GFL-1, which is their top league, live stream their championship game, and it was viewed by over a million people worldwide. You see it in Israel. You see it in India, where there's a budding professional league and hiring athletes from other sports trying to teach them the game. I've been invited to do that. Last summer, I did 8 football clinics in Germany, Austria, the Netherlands, and France. And of course, I love going there for many reasons.
Of course. <laughs> Who
wouldn't?
You're a big traveler like I am, and I know you love overseas travel. Now, but so you're saying the game is growing worldwide, but here in this country there are these questions, and perhaps this is not coming up in these other countries, or is it?
Well, you know, like many things, we're a very litigious society, and that produces different things in different places. And I know your viewers can't see this, but I'm showing now you a graph of a participation in American football over the last 10 years. And you could see that in the United States, while it is slightly down, it's really remained about the same. And one of the reasons for that, by the way, is the increase in females. Now in high school football in America, there are 1,500 females playing varsity football, and which is a very interesting phenomena.
Co-ed football.
Well, it's not really co-ed. It's still a male sport, but since there isn't a female sport, most states have laws that would allow in Title IX females to play that sport. And also this past year, we actually saw a small increase in participation in football in the U.S., you know, which shows that there are trends, but these are positive reasons. I think anybody would be very foolish to ignore the fact that there are trouble signs on the horizon. But through better coaching, technology, changing the rules, modernizing the game and making it a faster game, you know, there are many things that can be done to improve the safety of football. If anybody out there thinks things like CTE are unimportant, I want to talk to that person directly. There's something wrong there.
The concussion issue.
It is a major issue, as it should be.
Yes.
But the big numbers are in way too young children playing full contact
when
football.
When should kids start playing football, Coach Skurin?
Well,
how young is too young?
I think high school is the starting point where it gets a lot safer looking at the statistics when kids can have full contact football. I think if you look in the, like in Japan, they wear full uniforms up until they start high school, but it's flag football. And they're training them to wear the equipment, and they don't see anywhere close to the number of concussions that we see. It's a risky sport at best, in any great situation. But until you get to Division One and of course the NFL, that's when the size, the speed, and the impact becomes so great that the statistically things really, really do change there. High school football has its risks. We have to look at the rules. We've got to get better technology. We need to, there's things the NFL is doing, like the Heads Up program that really teach it. We need to train our coaches a lot better, particularly at the youth level. And we just need to be both, I like the word smart and judicious. When we look at when should kids start, when are they able? You know, I think a lot of times it really should be left up to the child. Is this something you like doing? You know, you stick your toe in the water.
That's a good point. You're saying the kids should have more input in this thing. Well, and the parents may be driving them to play football, and the kids maybe don't want to play.
You know, that's and puts them at much greater risk.
Yeah.
This is like any sport.
If you're not buying into it, if the kid isn't buying into it 100%,
it really, in a sport like football, it becomes a lot more dangerous when you're standing around. And particularly when you're going up against a person that's bigger, faster, stronger, and much more into the sport, wanting to be the aggressor, and you have a kid out there that's kind of sheepish and standing back, and there's a lot of ways over time for kids to see if they really like this, is if this is something they want, but the mass participation in football is a cultural thing. You know, we talk about the declining numbers, but in the South, in SEC country, we're seeing vastly growing numbers.
Yeah, I have this chart you gave me in front of me. The South is way up, Midwest down, but the South is still, it's high school football is still a king.
And some of this is socioeconomic. Yeah. There's a lot of reasons for this. You know, I was on a committee, I was very fortunate in 2007 to be National Coach of the Year. And I went to IUPUI. There, the combine was in Indianapolis, and that's and the university there that has the National College of Sports Medicine. And they had a big presentation, and it was very informative about the technology and what we can do. And when we turn around and have a little bit more time, we'll talk about some of those results.
We're going to take our break right here with Coach Skurin. He'll be around for a second segment, 790-2040. If you would like to join in the conversation, let's take the break right here. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant. Named after the classic New Orleans cocktail, Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Phillips Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Phillips Plaza. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improve mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, Tucson Mayor Jonathan Rothschild joins us. The Friday Roundtable features Joe Ferguson of the Arizona Daily Star and Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com. Matt Russell has Weekend Watch, Buckmaster noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. We've got our worldwide live listening also on my website, BuckmasterShow.com. Of the Buckmaster Show, presented by one of our fine sponsors, Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. It makes a great weekend getaway, or even longer, just a 3-hour road trip over to Silver City. SouthwestNewMexico.org is the starting point to find out about the many great recreation opportunities, including the world-famous Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument. But just getting out and hiking in the Gila National Wilderness this time of year with all the trees turning the golden colors, it's a great time of year over there. Great places to stay, and again, that's at southwestnewmexico.org. We're speaking with Jeff Skurin, Coach Skurin, Hall of Fame coach. He's one of the most successful high school football coaches in the United States. He's just completed his fifth season up at Catalina Foothills High School. He took the Falcons to the playoffs. I think you've taken them, Coach, 5 straight years, right?
Yes.
Into the playoffs?
Very fortunate in that regard. Thank you.
So let's talk a little bit about locally. Could we see, with this whole thing about open enrollment, could we see some high schools just not having enough kids to even field a football team?
And that is true nationally. There's been many articles that have been published, particularly one in ESPN, the magazine, and Sports Illustrated has talked about these things, where games are being canceled now nationally due to safety concerns. One school has 60 or 70 players, and the other school is in the 17, 18, 20 kid range, and their kids get a few kids injured, and kids are on the field that really aren't able to throw a block and defend the running back. I think people that are watching, there's going to be a movie coming out now about some of the imbalances and what happens to kids in over-aggressive youth football programs versus those where the kids are, let's say, just dabbling their toes in the water to try it. And, of course, we have these, you know, many people who believe that football's been a training ground for some of our leaders and create an aura of toughness and teaches the kids certain things, which I think is true in the case of some, not all, and has been a wonderful training ground. West Point used to require football for all their cadets. The core of cadets, they played for their dorm. Didn't matter if they were male or female. Hmm. They played tackle football for many years, and that's since gone by the wayside for some of the same reasons. But now we're operating on too many old models. And in Arizona, we are one of those states. We have a few teams that are being nationally recognized. The leaders of our association like that national recognition for Arizona teams, but that comes at the expense of kids transferring from one school to another school, creating competitive imbalance. That imbalance has produced scores. Anybody that looks at the Friday night scores in high school football, most of the games are routes.
Yeah, they are.
There's a few competitive games.
Yeah.
And the kids that are getting tired of losing and their parents are picking them up and moving them to other schools. And the newest rule, we can now practice year-round, not with pads, but we can practice year-round. And kids can transfer from school A to school B and only sit out half of season. And this, all these factors are creating a larger and larger competitive imbalance, meaning you're going to be on a team with 20, you're going to play a team with 50 or 60 that has 18, 20 college-bound players. Your team has none. You start to get beat up. The score gets lopsided. I don't see where the fun is in that. And sports,
the kids don't probably show up on Monday after a beating like that. Some of them just say it's not worth it.
And you're seeing more and more of that. And it's hard to get coaches now. We have a lot of situations where parents are demanding more. Schools are putting more on the plates of coaches. Remember, a high school assistant coach, if he is lucky enough to be paid by a school, is probably making about $1,500 to $2,000 for the entire year. It's not a season anymore. The new rules, it's now an entire year. And so the pool of trained and qualified people is getting slimmer and slimmer. And remember, these coaches have to have fingerprint cards. There are rules that must be in play for the protection of our children. Mm-hmm. And they have to be trained. They have CPR and first aid. And all of this comes out of the coach's pocket. The state requires a class that's taken online that there's a fee for, so that you know how to at least expose to some proper coaching methods in dealing with kids in a positive fashion. I don't think it's very successful, but it is required. So you're looking at $300 or so out of your pocket just to become a coach, qualified to coach in high school. And so that's getting shallower and shallower pool, and so we're getting fewer and fewer qualified people that can not only coach kids but can train them to become future leaders using the sport as the model.
So you're saying in 5 to 10 years we may not even recognize the landscape of the high school football?
No, teams. I think it's going to become fewer and fewer teams and to create a competitive balance. Unless, and this is the big caveat, unless the state steps in, recognizes that open enrollment has caused some unintended consequences, and we start to deal with these things, just like, I hate to say it, but we've been so slow to pick up on concussions. We've been so slow to pick up on competitive imbalance. I fear for the future of my, this isn't a sport to me. This has been my livelihood. And I care.
How many years?
44 now. Mm. And I care deeply about this because so many of my former players have gone on to become national leads. Aide to Senator John McCain, that one of the top five guys in ATFE, heads of corporations, lawyers, doctors, and these people call me and write me back and tell me about the impact that my teaching and the sport and just having to step up day after day after day, even on days you didn't feel like it, to become a player and be competitive. And of course the winning was always fun, but the team bonding and all those social things, the interactions that you learn by playing a sport like football or any team sport, and particularly, but football is the toughness factor that gets rolled into that. If you could handle an upset loss in a playoff when you had all your hopes and dreams and you could handle that like a true gentleman, mm-hmm. or a lady, mm-hmm. and you, what does that do for your future in terms of helping you deal with the inevitable pitfalls of any life, even the most charmed life?
Right.
You know, it's a great training ground. There are others. I'm good with drama, band, anything that where you have to put your heart and soul to be successful, and learning to deal with the trials and tribulations of any of those activities in sports. It really sets American schools apart from those in the rest of the world. We are one of the only nations where sports and activities like fine arts are part of the school landscape. In every other place in the world, those are club activities done after school at out of your pocket expense. And we offer them at school because it is such a great training ground. And I would hate to see that go away. just because we're too slow to pick up on this new model, or because our leaders like being on TV and getting a free lunch with the ESPN crew.
All right, Coach Skern, we're going to let you go here, but I do want to bring that whole thing up about, I know from a personal experience, some of my earliest memories were in the competitive athletic field. I can remember trying out for Little League at maybe 5 or 6 years old, and I had an older brother who wanted me in baseball, football. Eventually, I settled on high school soccer. I played basketball, and it just went on and on. And I'm telling you one thing, and that you, I'm sure you don't, you already realize that this, what you learn in athletics translates into the business world and the competitive nature of our day-to-day activities.
Well, it's one of the reasons why the number one place that our military leaders come looking for candidates is on the sports venue. And remember, there's over 1,100,000 people still playing high school football in the USA today. So it still is a factor.
Where can people get a hold of your book, One Game, One Time? Basically, this is your autobiography.
It's on Amazon.com.
Okay. And a website that you'd like to send people to?
Just www.coachskern.com. That would be great.
Jeff Skern, always a pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Bill.
All right.
Good morning to Jeff Herndon. He is the owner of Enhance Openings in the Marana area, 3950 West Costco Drive. So it's windows, doors, and more. What's the more part?
Well, we do replacement skylights with technology in the glass, a T-reflective glass. We also do garage doors, entry doors, steel security doors.
Right.
We cover all the openings that would come into your home.
So check it out. You can go to enhanceopenings.com.
Since 1944, the Humane Society of Southern Arizona has helped over 1 million pets in Southern Arizona. I'm Richard Carmona, 17th Surgeon General of the United States and Distinguished Professor at the University of Arizona. Join me in supporting the Humane Society of Southern Arizona in their effort to build a new animal welfare center. Keeping the pets in our community safe and healthy helps ensure that our community as a whole is safe and healthy. Please donate now, because we are all in this together.
This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is time for the CEO interview series here on the Buckmaster Show, presented by Sun Corridor Incorporated, a transformative economic development organization representing one of the most dynamic and growing major business centers in North America. The CEO-driven regional alliance has helped to drive significant business investment into the Tucson and Southern Arizona region through the primary job creation, resulting in 144 company relocations and expansions and an economic impact of just over $22 billion. That's B with a billion. For more information about Southern Arizona's economic engine, go to suncorridorinc.com. Joining us now on the live line is Steve Odenkirk, Executive Vice President and Southern Arizona Regional Manager for Alliance Bank of Arizona here in Tucson, a recognized leader in commercial finance. Mr. Odenkirk leads the Alliance Bank's regional presence, which includes two banking locations and 36 employees. Steve Odenkirk is a member of the Sun Corridor Board of Directors. Steve, how are you, sir?
I am fine. Thank you for asking. How are you?
Doing very well. Let's begin with how you see, your perspective as a banker, looking to grow your business here in Southern Arizona. How does it look right now, the economic landscape to you?
Well, it looks as promising today as it probably has in my time in Tucson. I moved here from Phoenix in 1996, and I would say while there were still some good things happening really into the mid-2000s, the long-term outlook for Tucson today is as good as I've seen it since I moved to Tucson, you know, in the mid-90s.
And Steve, what has the turnaround been? Has this been a subtle thing happening over a couple of years? Was there some kind of a tipping point? Why are things getting better, in your opinion?
Well, you know, I would say part of it is local and part of it is, you know, outside of our control, just natural forces. So, for example, I know that Tucson and Pima County in general were not always on the same page as far as trying to work together to be collaborative in attracting new employers and growth to the market or retaining existing employers. And I think in the last few years, Sun Corridor certainly has been a leading voice in this effort. But I think other parties have chosen to play nicely together as well and create an environment for us that as we've come out of the overall national economic slump from 2007 to whenever you want to put a final date on it, more to the point locally, we've decided we're all better off winning together than we are trying to win individual battles. And I think the addition of Caterpillar, for example, or retaining Hexagon Mining are good examples of how Tucson has become much better at attracting and hopefully retaining a larger employers that provide better jobs for our citizens.
And Steve, I think we are speaking more with one voice, aren't we, when it comes to economic development in this community? At least that's something I've noticed over the last 30 years. It seems like folks are on the same page now.
You're touching right on the point. It really has become an effort where we all realize that when a sophisticated employer is looking to relocate a site or increase their site locally that they may have, when you can show them properties, when you can talk to them about whatever tax incentives may be available, when you have one place they can go for all the quality information they need, it makes you look like you're more professional, probably because you are more professional, and you make their life easier. And Bill, I'll tell you, ask anybody, when you go to a third-party service provider, the more problems they can solve for you in one place, the more you like working with them. And I would assume site selectors from companies around the nation are no different than you or I in that regard.
Yeah, people do like one-stop shopping. How important was getting those site selectors here to Tucson last, I think it was in the spring, we had that big deal that brought a lot of out-of-town people that got a close-up look at our region. Was that a big deal, Steve?
It was a huge deal, and I'll tell you, think about how many times you've put off a trip to go see a family member, a friend, a relative, or a place you've always wanted to go. And you make the trip, and you get on the ground, and hopefully you have a really positive experience, whether it's catching up with old friends or seeing a new part of the world. You alluded to your love for travel in the segment that just went by. And the answer is you always get back on that airplane, and you always say to yourself, I can't believe I put this off so long. I can't believe I didn't make it here sooner. And I would argue that getting the site selectors on the ground in Tucson, I think it was in March, and I'm not sure if it was 16 or 17 because I'm new to Sun Corridor, but you have to know they got back on that airplane and said, wow, I had no idea what was going on in southern Arizona, how beautiful it was, or how much economic development they do have in place, and what a desirable place it might be to place companies going forward as I look for new opportunities.
And what do you see as the selling points right now?
You know, the selling points for I was in a seminar this morning on a similar topic with the Pima County Real Estate Research Council, and, you know, we have strengths in southern Arizona, and they're undeniable, and I just alluded to some of them. The scenery and the weather are obviously, that's a big part of getting up every day and going to work and choosing where you want to raise your family, is what's your environment. And we have one of the best around. Obviously, I've relocated here from the Midwest myself many years ago. So clearly, that's one of our leading sales pitches, is the quality of life offered by the environment. But, you know, the University of Arizona and all of the activities, services that are provided at a university by a university, whether it's just using their library, going to athletic events or the arts, what have you, that drives a whole nother level as far as a sales pitch goes for our community, and offering people that are looking at this community as a positive relative to many other communities that may be of a similar size and don't have an engine like the University of Arizona.
I was speaking with Steve Kasachek, Tucson City Councilman, Steve, on the program yesterday. We're talking about our film industry and trying to get that cranked up again, competing against New Mexico, because I believe that getting Tucson seen nationally, internationally, that would be a huge selling point. People saying, what is that beautiful scenery? Where was that filmed? Oh, that was filmed in southern Arizona. People see that, they want to come here.
And I'm kind of a Western fan myself, and I can tell you, when I see Westerns, I often look at the scenery and say, wonder if they filmed that in southern Arizona or in Arizona in general. And obviously, for folks that are getting their shovels ready right about now, the scenery in those movies and the scenery that comes out of the golf tournament that we have here in town and so forth, they are huge selling points for Tucson and for southern Arizona.
Yeah, both of us, I believe, you come from, is it Rock Island, Illinois? Is that your...
Well, actually, yeah, I'm from the Chicago area originally. I attended Augustana College in Rock Island, Illinois for my undergrad. So, yeah, I'm from the Midwest for sure.
Yeah, both of us are. I went to New Trier, grew up on the North Shore of Chicago. So,
sure.
Yeah, both of us have certainly Midwestern and Illinois roots.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think maybe you did get a chance to hear a little of that first discussion on the show today. Very interesting with Hall of Fame coach Jeff Skurin. And I know you're a big, huge soccer fan, and you're at a national level. You've reach some soccer coaching significance. We're talking about the competitive nature of athletics and how that translates into the business world. Share some of your thoughts on that, Steve.
Well, I can tell you, I'll touch on that momentarily. I'm going to step back one step and tell you that I was actually hired for a job by a couple of ex-professional athletes probably 25, 30 years ago, and they expressly told me that when they go through piles of resumes, this was in Phoenix in a real estate business many years ago, they like to hire athletes. And they didn't hire them exclusively, but they actually sought them out in piles of resumes when they were trying to hire new people. They felt that people that had experienced athletics, and they weren't real particular that you had to be a pro athlete or even a college athlete, but that you were serious about something for a while and that you understood what it was like to both win and lose, and that the sacrifices you make today often don't pay dividends for some time down the line. And your ability to disconnect your work today with the payoff was a big part of what they felt made for successful employees in their company. So these are all qualities. You know, I've been a commercial real estate broker for many years, as in commercial debt loans. And I can tell you that is as competitive a business as there is. If you close the loan, you get paid. And no matter how long you work on the loan or how large the commission might have otherwise been, if you don't close a loan, you just don't get paid anything. And you have to have a mentality where you can step out every day and battle to win the next game, get 10 more yards or whatever the case might be.
All right, Steve. Steve Odenkirk, the Executive Vice President of Alliance Bank of Arizona. How is the footprint of Alliance? You optimistic about it?
Very much so. Our bank in particular, this is obviously the Sun Corridor segment of the show, but
right.
I know I could talk a little bit about
sure.
my employer. And
yeah.
Alliance Bank of Arizona is very, very highly ranked by any number of stock picking funds, as well as receiving strong ratings from the regulators. We are growing tremendously fast, but very consistently and over a long period of time. It isn't a one-and-done situation. We currently have two branches here in the Tucson market, but we continue to grow outside of the actual real estate. And in Phoenix, we continue to grow rapidly as well. It's it's definitely a business bank, and we certainly have put ourselves in the lead pack of commercial lenders in the Tucson market.
Steve Odenkirk, thank you very much, Steve. A pleasure talking to you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot. SunCorridorInc.com is where we suggest you go to visit for more information about really Southern Arizona's economic engine, SunCorridorInc.com. We'll be right back. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
This portion of the Buckmaster Show, presented by our favorite place for all things green, green things. And they've got this great workshop coming up, When the Pots Break on the Patio, and it does happen, of course. Why throw them away? Why not kind of reacquisition them into a beautiful planter? So they'll have a workshop out of green things just west of the Brandy Fenton Park on River Road there along the Rito River, 10 o'clock Saturday morning, 10 to noon for that free workshop. GreenThingsAZ.com is the website. Anthony Jimino is the Buckmaster contributor on Wildcat Sports. Anthony certainly knows his way around the sports world. Senior editor at Lindy's College Football Annuals. Co-author of a book about Arizona basketball, 100 Things Arizona Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. He's co-host of Wildcats basketball pre- and post-game shows on Sports Radio AM 1290. His latest project, which is doing very well, he created this sports blog, allsportstucson.com. Anthony, how are you?
Doing good. How about you, Bill?
Doing well. We had a nice half-hour conversation to start the show with Jeff Skurin. Of course, Jeff knows his way around the football world, and he believes that don't count out high school football yet, because actually there are some places like in the South where participation is up. But on the West Coast, the East Coast, participation really is falling in high school sports, and he believes a lot of it has had to do with open enrollment in the high school levels. Well, the college sports scene, as you know, Anthony Jimino, has its own set of issues right now. One of them revolves around putting enough fans in the seats, correct?
That is correct. We talk about that a lot locally in regard to Arizona, but it is an issue for most of the country. I think, as you mentioned, with high school football, the South is exempt from those issues. Certain places in the Big Ten are exempt from those issues because Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, Tennessee, Alabama, still going to get their full house.
The legacy programs are doing quite well.
Yes, but it's always been, in terms of college, that has always been an issue in the Pac-12, where it's a less passionate fan base, where a lot of times the teams, say for South Carolina, when they were really bad several years ago, they were still getting 80,000 fans a game and filling their stadium. Now, that doesn't happen at a Pac-12 West Coast school, the West Coast has always been more dependent on who they're playing, which is why we often see Pac-12 schools try, at least, to play a more competitive non-conference schedule, because their attendance depends on who they bring in. The fans aren't coming out and necessarily watch their program, and that was something former AD Greg Byrne here said over and over, especially when he first got here. You know, he was talking about, I want fans to come out to see Arizona, mm-hmm. not to come out to see Iowa, not to come out to see Wisconsin, not to come out to see USC. Mm-hmm. And only with mixed results, let's say, he had with that.
Well, Coach Skurin was saying when we were talking actually off the air, we didn't bring this up on the air, about U of A attendance for the football. He believes we're kind of slow here in Tucson. Maybe wanted to see how the team was going to do, and then you got Mr. Tate and the runaway mm-hmm. train. Maybe next season this will Tate's amazing October performance will translate into better attendance next year. And of course, Anthony Gimeno, this will probably depend. Oregon State this Saturday night at the stadium, that should be a pretty easy Arizona win. But then you've got Oregon and ASU. So I think it's going to how these last three games wind up is going to have a lot to say about next year's attendance.
I agree with that. I've always said that when it comes to football, Arizona fans are always a year late. And we saw that through some of the really, really good years in the 1990s. It's always I really have to see it over and over before I believe it. And that's kind of the mentality of the Arizona football fans, where they've been burned a little bit, you know, just when you put your heart into it, they fall apart. So there's always been maybe a sense of reluctance to jump in right away. I think if you go back and look at the attendance numbers when Arizona was going great, like in 1992 and the Desert Swarm and stuff like that, the average attendance really, it was a year later. People mm-hmm. didn't want to believe it while it was happening.
Right.
And I think that could be the case this year as well, where people had maybe, you know, kind of made up their mind about this team, and then the home slate wasn't particularly attractive. And but next year it should be again, if only because Arizona State's back on the schedule. So if for that reason alone, with ASU coming back to Tucson every other year, that should be a better year.
Well, I do worry, though, Tate carries the ball a lot, and that makes him very prone to injuries, doesn't it, Anthony?
Yeah, he has been a lot smarter this year. If you remember and you watched him play last year, he was that guy who's running down the field, and he's lowering his shoulder into the defender.
Yeah.
He has been much more cautious. I think he listened to his coaches.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting out of bounds. He's not taking big hits. He's getting down on the ground. I think there's always going to be a worry about that. But there's also a worry about the guy who's 6'5" and can't move in the pocket and can't get away from pressure.
Right. You know, yeah. That has its own set of problems, doesn't
it? There.
Yeah.
But at least I think Khalil is doing what he can and doing and being very smart this year in terms of the hits he takes and the hits he can avoid.
This team could end up with with 9 wins if they do win out here. That would be an unbelievable season compared to what folks had been predicting.
I think even now they're really playing with house money.
Yeah.
Now, if they do poorly here the rest of the way, they will have spent all that house money and have nothing to show for it. But they do have a chance. If they win 2 of their last 3, which I think is very mm-hmm. reasonable to assume, they should beat Oregon State pretty. Oregon State's the worst team in the league right now, although kind of playing better under an interim head coach lately. Then if you split Oregon and ASU on the road, I think you call that good.
Yeah.
And then you're 8-4 going to perhaps a nice bowl game, whether it's maybe San Diego, maybe it's Las Vegas, you know. Nobody ever wants to go to El Paso.
I know, but that is the projection right now for Arizona, is the Sun Bowl at this point.
Yeah, it depends.
Yeah.
I mean, there are everybody in the national media, everybody who has a website does our, hey, here's our bowl projection. So you could probably depending on who you listen to, you can see Arizona projected right now into probably five different bowls. So it's a little early for that. But, yeah, certainly El Paso is one of the possibilities. But it's been 25 years since Arizona played in the Sun Bowl. You know, I think you should go to El Paso once every 25 years.
I think I was there 25 years ago for that, actually, for that game, now that I think of it.
Really? It was Arizona-Baylor on a rainy,
yes,
rainy afternoon.
Yes, we went over for that. We drove over for that game. That was a Coach Tomey team, of course.
Yeah, it was. I was covering the team for the Daily Star at the time. It was New Year's Eve.
Yep.
And by the time we were done writing our stories, there was no place left good to eat because they were all filled up with reservations. So, there was me, Greg Hansen, and a woman named Marcia Hammond, who covered Arizona for the Republic. And we ended up at some very sad hotel restaurant eating New Year's Eve dinner.
That is really sad.
Anthony
Jimeno, we'll look for all of your work at certainly All Sports Tucson. And, of course, your basketball work as well on the radio. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Bill.
Have a great one. Coming up this afternoon, Mike Shaw, Mike Check with Ray Allen. And they have kind of a surprise guest today that's really, it's going to be an interesting interview, Ray, with, I won't say it. Going to be a surprise. Anyway, tomorrow morning, wake up Tucson 6 to 9, Buckmaster with the mayor on our Friday Focus interview. Until then, on behalf of Ray Allen, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.